want to. I pray in tongues or I sing in tongues, like you say in here. Or with the understanding either. But it's a powerful gift. And all these gifts are powerful gifts. And they're all necessary and needed in the body. And in the days to come, they're going to be very, very common. And I don't mean that in an uncouth way. They're going to be very, very common in the body. Jesus manifested those gifts. You know, the Bible says he had to become in all things like unto his brethren. He manifested those gifts. And some people say Jesus didn't speak in tongues, but I don't know if that's true. I don't really think that is true. For instance, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Why did they have to interpret it? I know that it is some form, it's not exactly Armenian, but it's some form of Hebrew or Armenian. It's not quite the same as either. Why was it having to be interpreted? Obviously he was speaking in the Holy Spirit. So I don't know that. We can't add to the word by saying that he didn't. At any rate, all these gifts need to be, we desire after God to find out which one of these gifts God has chosen for us. He may just put it in our heart that we would seek him for a certain gift this evening. Anybody else have a question? I wasn't really thinking to go in this direction, but the Lord obviously just wanted somebody to hear this, you know?
There was a question earlier about the gifts. Cindy was asking, or someone was asking about, go back and look at it, but it had something to do with God, there is no repentance for the gifts, or something like that.
Yeah.
Romans 11:29.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think about that, just like our healing. For 2,000 years, the power of our healing has been there. Whether you can come into agreement with that word is another story, but it has been there for 2,000 years.
Yeah. God hasn't taken it back.
He hasn't taken it back.
He hasn't changed his mind.
Right. And I think that deals with the gifts too. I mean, they're there.
Oh yeah, the false doctrine, of course, that it all passed away with the apostles is a doctrine that's not based on any scripture. They can't show you any scripture for that. It's just a lying religious spirit, frankly. It's men that destroyed the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not God. God didn't repent and he didn't take it back. Which means, repent just means change your mind. God didn't change his mind.
Well, when we think about there being demons in Christians, and some Christians with their doctrines of religion, not believing that a Christian that's born again or spirit-filled can have a demon. You think about when Jesus came, he came with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was coming for covenant people. He was casting demons out of covenant people. And what God is dealing with today, again, still, is covenant people.
Yeah.
Christians.
We have a right to everything that Jesus provided.
Right, and they have demons, and we have a right to cast them out in his name.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Salty just had a comment here. I don't really understand it, but he said Tommy Hicks was preaching in Russia in the 1950s and preached on the blood, and his interpreter hissed and spit in his eyes, so he prayed and finished preaching like the Lord gave him in tongues.
Okay.
Finished speaking, you know, what he was talking about in tongues. He was speaking in, I guess, American, he was speaking in English,
yeah.
And he had an interpreter, and his interpreter started hissing and spitting in him, in his eyes. Well, the interpreter from English to Russian, not interpreter of tongues.
Yeah.
So he says, so he prayed and finished preaching in what the Lord gave him in tongues. Kind of weird. weird.
I don't understand how that would edify the body.
I don't know. That's why I was having a little weird comment, but...
What is in Russian?
Oh, in Russian, which you did. Oh, the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in Russian.
Oh, good.
Okay.
That's good.
That's type of tongue.
Yes. I experienced that one time many years ago. Preached in a language I didn't know. But, in fact, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I saw a very similar thing, because there was a man who had just been filled with the Holy Spirit who was speaking in Hebrew, and there happened to be somebody that understood Hebrew and interpreted it. And he had never spoken in any unknown language in his life. You know, that was the first time. But in fact, we had a girl here who spoke in Hebrew. And I went and got my concordance because I recognized the words and wrote the message down that she had said. And she was going through a very terrible time in her family, and it was talking about the hard time she was having with her family. It was a really good word for her, really encouraging to her, because she'd never spoken in tongues before. We prayed for her, she spoke in tongues, and she kept saying this same thing, and I started writing it down because I recognized it was Hebrew, but I didn't know all the words, so I went and picked up, got a concordance out, and interpreted it that way. I didn't receive an interpretation, but I went and interpreted it that way, and it was very good. It was a blessing to this girl.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, the some people say that the main reason for the gift is to speak to other people in their language. That's one of the side benefits of it. I don't think it's the main reason for it, but because another thing, when you give an interpretation, it is an interpretation. It's not a translation. Some people question that because they know the sound is different. It doesn't sound like it's a translation. You know, maybe even the words are not as many words or whatever, you know, and they think, well, that don't sound right, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to. It's an interpretation. It's not a translation, you know. So, we need to see if our mic works. Somebody needs to talk to us. Share something with us. Anybody feel like saying something on the mic?
This is the quietest night ever.
The last time we had trouble with the mic working,
right.
We had adjustment problems.
We had adjustment problems. The Paltalk upgraded their whole system. And they told me in their help lobby that certain people were having these problems.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but certain people were.
Yeah. Anybody have another question?
Is Kurt having a mic?
Yeah, but he's having the hardest time getting on. That's why I kept calling several times tonight. Mm-hmm. First of all, Paltalk won't work the way it will. Mm-hmm. And the hotel he stayed at with the wireless wireless internet service went through it. AOL. Then he got on, then they called back and said that they dialed in through his local connection here. They actually dialed long distance, and then they couldn't even get Paltalk to upload or to log on Paltalk. So I tested it myself, and I know that it worked, so I think there may have been something going on with that. Oh. Someone does have their hand up.
You okay?
And Sandy.
Someone from Australia, he was always using the mic.
He's here.
I have to talk real quiet. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
You mean yes?
I did.
Okay. Anyway, I have some testimonies. Dave had prayed with me speaking in tongues about that, and I do pray in tongues out loud now, not in my head. So, there is somebody with no sound. Anyway, another thing I wanted to say is, to me, this is kind of miraculous, because we have a porta potty at J. John sitting on top of a hill out on some land, and we have had major storms in Kentucky, and that J. John stands where barns have fallen down and everything else all around it, and to me that just is a testimony and God's protection under those type of conditions. I mean, it was amazing.
Porta potty.
We'll get something like that.
Okay, amen. And boy, your voice sounded really good. I mean, it came through real clear, you know. That was really good. Thank you.
It must be those adjustments that...
Yeah, well, we must have needed that really badly.
Well, some people are still having problems from time to time. I bet this cursed kid. I just have a feeling about it. But anyways, I really don't understand. It's always the same people, and I think it has to do with just their system.
Yeah.
Because it's not everybody, it's just certain people. So it's either their sound card, their internet connection, download of patches that needs to be done, or a combination of all three. So, but if anyone else is having any problems, I know Continuing for the Faith, you said you had no sound. Did you get our emails?
Let me go strangle this thing.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I had a question earlier, but I can't remember what it was. Because we got dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm trying to remember. It was something to do with walking by faith. And I was talking to someone about, you know, when we walk by faith and not by sight, how difficult at times it can be when you have so many people that come against what you're speaking. It's a trial of our faith, even though we're walking by faith. I mean, we go through fiery trials. But in the Bible, it talks about there is no trial that is overtaking you that you can't withstand or overcome. And so knowing that God said that He will not put you in a trial that you can't overcome has to give you strength in knowing the fact that you can overcome it, or He wouldn't put you in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way you'd be in that trial if you could not overcome it.
Right. And of course, the gospel is that we've already overcome all this in Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. And if we accept the fact, which the devil speaks commonly, that we can't overcome this,
right,
that we're not believing the gospel.
Right.
You know, we're denying the gospel. Whenever the devil tells you you can't overcome this sin or that sin, that's a lie. Because we've already overcome that at the cross. We were crucified with Christ. Our old man was put to death. The sinner that's in us was put to death at the cross. And we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. If you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, how is it that you can't overcome anything? That's just not the truth. That you're accepting a lie from the devil if you accept the fact you can't overcome something. Because we're supposed to walk by faith that we've already overcome this. We call the things that be not as though they were, as the Bible teaches. So I had there was a woman that came to this meeting some years ago, and come to find out she was seeing a married man. And I found out about it, and I just told her, I says, listen, you don't need to come back over here unless you're going to repent of that, because that's clearly what we're commanded in the Bible, you know, to put forth people who are in willful
disobedience, you know, 1 Corinthians 5, for instance, you know, we're commanded to do that. And I just told her, I said, don't come back over here if you're not going to repent of that. And she told me, well, I just, David, I just can't give him up, you know. And I said, well, no, that's not the truth. You just won't give him up. I said, so, if you think you can't give him up, it's because you don't agree with the gospel. You don't agree with the good news. And the woman did repent, thank God. She did repent. She did turn away from that. And you know, because the Bible commands us in 1 Corinthians 5 to put those people out of the body. So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's what the Bible says. We can do all things. God's put you in your path. If he's shown you the sin or the temptation, then he's showing it to you for a purpose so that you can walk away from it. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And again, we're back to tongues, because tongues does build you up. In your faith, it edifies you or builds you up. It renews the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Speaking in tongues. So it's something you can do daily.
Yeah, Paul says, I die every day, and the flesh has to be put to death and has to stay dead. And flesh will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus told his disciples to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven has come nigh. And the kingdom of heaven is where God rules, and God will not be in the presence of sin. And so by faith, we have to put to death this old man every day so that we can be closer to God.
Right. We have to know that it's a gift that's given to us by God in the first place. You know, the Bible says, reckon yourself to be dead in sin but alive with God. In other words, consider it done. That's what he's saying.
Right.
So, you know, if you're anxious or troubled about any sin, it's because you're not walking by faith, right? Any sin in your life that you have trouble overcoming, you're not walking by faith. And first thing you got to repent of is unbelief, right? Because the gospel, Romans chapter 6, is that you're able to reckon yourself to be dead in sin but alive unto God. And then the next verse says, by the way, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So what does he mean by therefore? He's saying that there is a way that you cannot permit sin to reign in your mortal body. And the way is, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin but alive unto God. See, faith, again, accepts the righteousness that we have in Christ. The victory that we have in Christ, it accepts it as a done deal. When Jesus was crucified, my old man was put to death. The old day died there. And when I get baptized, you know, when I got baptized, I was just agreeing with that. The Bible says, if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be of the resurrection. So we're just coming into agreement with God in baptism, and what we're saying there is that old sinner is dead. Now Jesus lives in me. So we should never accept what the devil says about us. And one thing he will tell you is you can't overcome this or you can't overcome that. Or God hadn't given you victory there yet. We have to accept that as accomplished. You know, the Bible says by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We were perfected at the cross. People say we can't be perfect. They're not agreeing with the gospel. We have to agree with the gospel. The Bible doesn't say we can't be perfect.
We're commanded to be perfect.
We're commanded to be perfect. Be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Why would Jesus command us that? You know, if what men say is true, you know, the apostate religious leaders say is true, you know, why would Jesus say that? You know, we're trusting in God to do this work in us, and if he can't do it, nobody can. what these people are saying is that God is not able to perfect us. That's just ridiculous. God is all powerful. He's the creator. He's creating out of this clay that we live in here a vessel for his own purpose. In fact, I believe in these days that are coming very soon, we're going to see people walking in perfection. So what does that look like? Well, it probably looks a little different for each one of us, but basically it looks like Christ.
I say it's like the Gospels and
Acts. He's the image that we're being manifested into. Would you say that Christ is not perfect? Well, the Bible says if we have an unveiled face, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Now, would you say that that's not perfection? How could you come into the image of Christ and not be perfect, right? False doctrines that mostly people who do not have the Holy Spirit come up with. Have you ever noticed that? The people who don't have the Holy Spirit don't believe in the power of God. That's why they come up with powerless doctrines. They don't believe in the power of God. They don't understand the power of God. See? So don't receive any doctrine from those people. The Bible commands us in Timothy, you know, that if they have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't listen to their doctrine because they can't know the truth. You know, Jesus' disciples weren't permitted to go out and teach after he left until they waited for that power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Then they could go. And nobody's sent today to preach or to teach. I don't care what they say. They are not sent unless they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord hadn't changed his mind about that at all. And you can go to Bible college and graduate and still not be filled with the Holy Spirit, nor be sent by God. It doesn't matter that they give you a certificate. It matters that you're not sent. God doesn't send people that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, and he don't send people to speak a lie either. If he sends you, it's not going to be sent to speak a lie or to speak for a religion. You know, it's to speak for him. There are many, many people that aren't sent by God. And, you know, you and I both want God to use us on the people around us. And God's method of doing that is to be filled with his Spirit. Power, have that discernment, you know. We can really help people with the discernment of the Holy Spirit because he sees their heart just like he sees ours. He can communicate with us while we're talking to them. The Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit.
How can so many people say over and over and over, God told me this, and God sent me here, and God sent me there, and it's clear they're not doing it the way God's Word says it should be done. Is that a deceiving spirit?
Well, it can be. It can be someone that is sincerely deceived, or it could be someone who is trying to convince you of something because they're convinced of it. Obviously, if someone says that they heard from the Lord said this or said that, it should agree with the Word. I remember years ago, I ran into a couple of guys over in Louisiana. Got to know them after that. But these guys were so confident that they were hearing from the Lord, that he was speaking in their ears, and that the Lord was saying this and the Lord was saying that. And I got to listen to what they were saying. I said, that doesn't sound like the Lord. They don't even agree with the Bible, you know. And the more they went on, the more I realized, now they're hearing from a demon spirit, you know. But the kind of hearing that they had, everybody would love to have from the Lord, because it was loud, it was clear, it was in their ear, you know. They heard it constantly. And, you know, a lot of people desire that kind of hearing from God. But the Lord, many times, sometimes speaks in a still small voice. You got to become familiar with him to really know his voice, you know. And yet these people heard from God so clearly. They were a couple of, they were a couple, became a couple of friends of ours, and actually was in our fellowship. But you know what happened? We cast some demons out of them, and they quit hearing from God. But it wasn't the God that they were hearing from. And one of them was Mr. America. He was a well-known person, and was in our fellowship over in Louisiana. But he was hearing this voice, and this other friend heard this voice, and but it wasn't God, because it wasn't in agreement with the Scriptures. And from the day we come in, those demons come out, those two guys, they didn't hear that voice in their ears anymore. So you can hear something very clear, but if it's not in the Word, if it's not in agreement with the Word, you should be very, very suspicious. And religion commonly tells us things that they hear from God, but we're just held accountable to speak as an oracle of God, you know. And oracle of God is someone who speaks God's word, you know, speaks in agreement with God's word. The Bible says, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, what you're saying has to reflect Him. It has to represent Him. If He wouldn't say it, then you shouldn't either, right? If He did say it, we can say it. And if He said it through anyone else in this Bible, we can say it. We can agree with it. We can feel good about it. But if people are saying things that are contrary to the revealed will of God in the Scriptures, that's not the Holy Ghost. On the other hand, you know, there are people that study this Bible diligently. You know, Jesus said of the Pharisees, He said, you study the Scriptures because you believe that in them you have eternal life, and they speak of me, and you won't come to me, you know, that you might have this life. Well, the truth is, there are people that study the Scripture with their mind diligently, you know, but they don't understand it very well because they're limited to their mind, and they're not filled with the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to give us wisdom, you know. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the things that are spoken to us from God. And He will bring to remembrance everything that's spoken to us from God. And so we need the Holy Spirit. There are people who have been filled with a spirit. And they do believe it is the Spirit of God. And sometimes it's not the Spirit of God. So the best thing we can do to protect ourselves, the people around us, is be full of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. These two agree, the Bible says. The Word and the Spirit. The devil can do a lot of tricky things with people who are just filled with the Spirit and not the Word. And the other way around too. You know that? I used to be a little saying when I was growing up in the Lord, you know, that, and I've forgotten the saying now, but it was kind of neat. One time I remembered it. It was talking about you get filled with the Spirit, you blow up, and you get filled with the Word. I forget what the other part of the phrase is. You need them both. We need them both. We need to be filled with the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can correctly interpret the Word of God and bring to our remembrance the other verses that go with the ones we're thinking about, you know. So many of God's people are deceived because they're understanding the Word with their mind. And maybe they're diligently seeking to obey the Word with your mind, you know. But the Holy Spirit was given to guide this temple. Our spirit doesn't have the discernment, the sight, the omniscience of the Holy Spirit. We don't see the whole picture. We don't see in the heart of a man that may be speaking with us or people we're dealing with. We don't see that.
The Holy Spirit sees that. That's why we have to have Him to deal with God's people. We have to be filled. The overwhelming majority of God's people who have been born again at one time, they may be born again and died again, because the Bible talks about that. But the overwhelming majority of them haven't received the Holy Spirit. The people who have actually received that are a very small portion of God's people. But we're coming to a time when, again, all of the people that walk with the Lord and don't stick with religion, they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. And many of the denominational sects, the religious sects, are going to again blaspheme against the work of the Spirit. Pray for these, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11. Says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministrations and the same Lord. In other words, that it may, that same gift in us may minister in a different way through us than it does someone else. And some people, are very narrow-minded about how the gift manifests. But the Holy Spirit manifests it differently in different people. And there are diversities of ministrations in the same Lord, and there are diversities of workings with the same God. In other words, it'll work differently in different people. Who worketh all things and in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. We obey God in seeking diligently these gifts for the edification of the body. The body needs the gifts. We don't do it whether, it has nothing to do with whether we want them or not. He commands us to desire them earnestly. And that's in 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. It's also, you are zealous of spiritual gifts. Seek that you may abound in the edifying of the church. And 14:1, follow after love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Verse 12 and 31, desire earnestly the greater gifts. And that's a command of God. He didn't even ask us whether we wanted to or not. He's the Lord, right? He commands us to desire them earnestly. And back in 12 and 8, he says, for to each one is given the Spirit. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, to another by the same Spirit, to another faith, the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings in the one Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discernings of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as He will. So He commands us to I know that there is a lot of spurious gifts in the body today. That they're not biblical gifts at all. Be careful of these spurious gifts, because...
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about signs and wonders that are not according to the Bible. They're like placebos, and especially happening in these revivals nowadays that are not scriptural. They're not biblical. These are the gifts we're commanded to desire after and to seek after. These are the gifts. And God's got several of them for every one of us. And it is for the body that we have to seek these earnestly. In the days ahead, they're going to be necessary. In the places that we're going, they're going to be necessary. And they'll save lives. They're going to save lives. They may save your life. The gifts working in me have saved lives. So desire them earnestly. Pray for them. Pray for them by faith. Pray for them by importunity, even, When I was, when I first came into the kingdom and realized I was supposed to seek these gifts,
I was seeking them importunely, you know. In other words, I would, you know, ask, seek, knock type prayer, you know, instead of the believe you have received type prayer, you know. And, well, it happened. It took about a year for it to happen, but it did happen. I didn't realize that I could just ask by faith and receive it by faith. But some people don't have that faith, and so they need to seek after things importunately, like Jesus said, which is the ask, seek, knock until you get an answer from God type thing, you know? If God said it in His Word, and He's promised it, you don't have to do that. But if you feel better about doing it, you feel like you don't have the faith to pray the prayer of faith, then do it, because God will put the faith in you. I prayed that way for a year to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden the faith came over me when I was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only a faith, but a word of knowledge when it was going to happen. So, and it happened that way. But I prayed for a solid year, diligently. And after that, I learned by the Holy Spirit that I didn't really have to pray that way for everything. I could just pray and believe I had received, and God would bring it to pass. So, either way, receive the Spirit and receive the gifts that God's got for you, because a body is just that. The body tends to itself. God's put saviors in the body. People with these gifts are actually saviors of the body. The Lord Himself is manifested in these gifts. He is the Savior. And verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and several members thereof, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, and helps, and governments, and diverse kinds of tongues." Are all apostles, all prophets, all teachers? No. No, they're not. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all have? No, they don't. But He says, desire earnestly the greater gifts. So, we need this for the body. The body needs this. And many people are going to be converted through these gifts in the days that are coming. You know, Jesus said, if you don't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for my work's sake. People saw those signs and wonders that were manifested through Jesus, and they believed the gospel. Of course, the Pharisees weren't convinced, but they won't be convinced today either. The elect will be. Heathens of God hear the words of God. They receive these things as confirmations. Nicodemus said, we know no one can do these signs except he be from God. Well, Nicodemus had discernment that the rest of the Pharisees didn't. Many of the rest of the Pharisees didn't. He was drawn of God. He had that discernment. And that's the people that we're looking for, right? So the signs and wonders, the reason Christianity has lost ground over the years and fallen into disrepute and failure is because they've departed from God's methods. God's methods are these gifts. That's His methods. And Jesus did signs and wonders. It was for a reason, and it wasn't just to provide people's physical needs. It was to convince people of a God who was their Savior in all things. And we need to be convinced of the same God today, not a wimpy God like some religions have, you know, a worthless God, literally, that some religions have, who just evidently sits up there on a cloud and watches things go by and doesn't pay any attention to doing something to save His people. That's a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. From such, turn away. So you have to obey God in that too. And He tells you to turn away from Him, turn away from Him. If people would be obeying God in the Scriptures, these religions would dry up and fall apart. And if people would follow the Lord as far as supporting religions, if they would ask God and get guidance from God, these religions would dry up and blow away. That's what's needed in these days. Let them die. They have no right to exist. I'm talking about let that religion die. They have no right to exist. and deceive people. We need to get back to the Word of God. And we will. God will restore all things that have been taken away from His people. He's going to restore all things. He's going to send the wisdom of the man-child and the wisdom of two witnesses and the power of the latter rain. And it'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful. And He's going to, we were talking about this the other day, He's going to, in the days to come, take people out of their little sheltered cliques from hearing the same things over and over and over, and put and thrust them into situations with other Christians who didn't come from the same background, whom they can learn from and whom they can share with. And that'll be great when God busts up all the religious walls and puts His people together in the wilderness with people who have an interest in following the Lord. And suddenly what you have will be, you know, if you sit in a crowd of people that have heard the same thing and believe the same thing and are not permitted to go beyond the little walls of that religious dogma, it's easy to not have much to say. But when you get around people that may come from a totally different background and have received different gifts from God, like all the religions have received bits and pieces of God's knowledge, you know, when you get among people like that, what you have is very valuable. And that's where we're going. We're going to be, you know, rubbing elbows with people that are totally different backgrounds. And what we have is going to be valuable. What God is putting in you, if you're seeking Him, is going to be valuable where you're going. And desiring earnestly these gifts is something that's going to be very valuable where we're going. And the body is supported by these, not only ministries, but the gifts. You notice He separates the ministries from the gifts, right? God's going to restore the fivefold ministry, and He's going to restore the gifts in power.
I was just thinking that there's this lady I talk to every day, and she comes from a totally different background, but we have the same spirit. I mean, she has the same knowledge, but it's from a little different perspective.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she uses her Bible verses, and there. I mean, she'll talk about, you know, what the Bible has to say, but it's still slightly different, but yet so close to what we're saying. It's very refreshing. Out of all the people I've met in Pensacola, Florida, she's the only, outside of our Bible study group here, she's the only one I've come up to that hears the Word of God, agrees with the Word of God, and tries to live her life according to the Word of God. And it's very... it's not a common thing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of religious people out there, but this, you know, she was saying the other day, she says, well, if the Word of God says it, I must follow.
Yeah.
And I said, amen.
That's right.
I've talked to a lot of people that are seeing a lot of things wrong, but they really don't know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. It's like they see the manipulation for money, and a lot of things that the churches are doing that they feel are not God.
That's what this lady was saying. She says she started out that way. She says what got her to where she's at is, she said in the last 3 to 5 years, she actually was seeing these things, and she got in her Bible, and her Bible is the Word of God is what got her to where she's at now, to be able to...
See, that's what the troubles are going to do. They're going to drive people back to the Word. They're going to, you know, people are not going to trust in men. They're not going to trust their life to the hands of men who don't appear to even have life in some instances, you know?
Right.
And the troubles are going to drive people back to the Word. And boy, isn't that going to be wonderful, you know?
And I think that's the one thing that they're really not doing, is they're not reading the Word. They're trusting what they're taught.
Right.
And what they hear on TV, because we have so much on TV now. And so they're trusting in all of this, and they don't read the words
in this. Yeah, Hollywood Christianity.
And you can be very easily deceived.
Oh, yeah. If it's acceptable to Hollywood Christianity, you don't want it. Don't waste a whole lot of time watching Hollywood Christianity, because it is swill, most of it. Get in the Word of God, you know. Get your mind founded in the Word of God. Because what's popular among those people is just apostasy. We're in the midst of a great falling away. That's why the Lord is coming to restore. And the sad fact is that most Christians don't realize that it is a falling away. That's why they think that they're ready to go and meet the Lord in a rapture. Now, realizing the bride is not spotless and blemishless, not ready to meet the Lord. So, you know, if you pray and ask God to put it in your heart to have a desire to read the Word, set aside a good time in the day to do that. He will put it in your heart. He will draw you into the Word. You know, for years when I worked for Exxon over in Baton Rouge, I prayed that God would put that in my heart. I'd get up early in the morning. I'm talking about sometimes, most of the time, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd get up just so I would have some time in the Word before going to work. And I got used to doing that. I didn't miss the sleep, because if you're doing something God's calling you to do, He just blesses you, you know, and He blessed me. So I'd get up 4 o'clock in the morning and study the Word for a while and pray while I was studying the Word, and then go to work. For other people, there's other times of the day that work good, but ask God to draw you into the Word. You know, obviously, we don't work up the desires in ourselves, right? God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He puts those desires in us. We are dependent upon Him. That's why we pray. We're totally dependent upon Him to give us grace, unmerited favor, right? And so ask Him for everything. Ask Him to put the desires in you. Tell Him that you don't have a desire if you don't have one. Confess it to Him and ask Him to put it in you for your good and for the good of the body. And David prayed like that constantly, you know, draw me, Lord. He'd say, yes.
Robbie has a hand up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Robbie.
People that teach that the great falling away is the actual word for departing instead of falling away. With the Bible that you read, how would you think that that would fit into the context instead of falling away? They are saying it means departing, and that is the rapture. And I was wondering what you think in regards to the Bible that you're reading in regards to this.
Well, the word is apostasy, and it does mean falling away. If you want to say that means departing from the truth, well, that's true too. But departing from this world in a rapture, I can't see anybody using that verse to mean that. That's the first time I ever heard that one. I mean, honestly, Robbie, that's really far out. I can't imagine people using... I guess you're talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about except the falling away come first, or apostasy comes first, you know. But actually, you know, this happened in the days of Jesus, because Judas was the son of perdition, and they didn't know who the son of perdition was until the falling away came first. And the falling away was very plain with Judas what it was, right? He was denying the Christ, and he was selling him out, and he was turning against the faith. And a person that's falling away, they're doing all of those things. In one form or another, they're doing all those things. No, I think the great falling away that Paul was talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is coming in our day. There are disciples who are walking in the body of Christ. They will be walking with the man-child, just like Judas walked with Jesus. They'll be walking with the man-child at the beginning of the tribulation period. And yet, they're going to turn against the faithful. They're going to side with the apostate religious institutions. And they're going to take the mark of the beast. And they're going to totally fall away. They're going to be reprobated, like Judas. Reprobated. Now, there's another falling away that Paul spoke about in his day that's been around since his day. And that is that they fell away from the truths that were given to the apostles in the days of Jesus. And God's going to restore us to that, according to Joel chapter 2. Okay? So that's a falling away too. But there are a lot of Christians that profess Christianity today that are not going to be Christians that much longer, because there's going to be a falling away. Now, the Jews, when Jesus came and he spoke to them, they were God's people. And yet, when they didn't receive what he had to say, which was the unleavened bread of the Word of God, the spoken word of the Holy Spirit, when they didn't receive that, they fell away. And in the days to come, the same thing is going to happen with the church, because the church is going to deny, many of the people in the church are going to deny the Word of God because of their religion. You say, haven't they been doing that for centuries? Yes, but God has been merciful. And yet, the truth that's going to come out, confirmed with signs and wonders through the man-child, is going to make them so responsible that God's drawing a line in the sand, and he's saying, now you're responsible, you see. And when these people continue to blaspheme the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit and the work of God, God's going to reprobate them. There is going to be a great falling away in the coming days. Many Christians, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And these people who don't bear fruit, they're not going to be chosen, because God is coming to pick fruit. And what is he going to do with those that don't pick fruit? Well, he's going to reprobate them. He's going to turn them. It's like it says in Revelation, chapter 6. It says, this is the time of the coming of the Lord in Revelation chapter 6, 12, 13, 14. It says, and I saw when he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she's shaken of a great wind. And the heavens was removed as a scroll, and it was rolled up, and every mountain, so on and so forth. You recognize that as the time of the end, and yet the fig tree is casting her figs to the earth. Now, the stars of the heaven, which are Abraham's seed, were likened to the stars of heaven. Abraham's seed. So now you're talking about Abraham's seed that don't bear fruit. The fig tree. Now the fig tree was always likened to the people of God. But those that don't bear fruit at this time, they're going to be rejected. They're going to be cast to the earth. The dragon, in Revelation 12, casts a third of the stars of heaven to the earth. I know people say that that's angels, but I'm convinced it ain't got nothing to do with angels. It has to do with the great falling away. See, when God has decided who's going into the ark, the rest of them are going to be reprobated. They're going to go through the flood of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And God's faithful people who have borne fruit, they're going into the ark. They're going to be with the Lord. They're going to be preserved. But yeah, we have a great falling away. It's the word apostasy. the Greek word apostasy. No, it has nothing to do with any rapture, unless you want to consider that the kind of rapture that some people are talking about is apostasy. It is apostasy. It's not going to happen. It's a fairy tale made up by people who don't know the Lord and hadn't heard from the Lord. So, but God is coming for His people, and He's coming for the people who have not fallen away and have not turned away from Him. And Judas was a type. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he used the term son of perdition on purpose, because there is a Judas in the body of Christ today. A body of people who are not bearing fruit, and you know, they're in it for themselves, like Judas was, and they're not going to bear fruit, and they're denying their Lord. You know, if you walk in willful disobedience, you're denying the Lord, aren't you? You're selling your birthright, aren't you? And Judas was walking in willful disobedience. He was a thief, and he was a liar, and he wasn't faithful to the Lord. And in these days, in the body of Christ, there is just such a body of people. And the body is not ready to meet the Lord until these people come out of the midst, which is what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. These people are not going to be revealed until the falling away come first. Then they're going to be revealed. You know what? The reason for tribulation is that all of God's people are going into the tribulation, just like all of Israel went into the wilderness. But that trial separates the sheep from the goats. It separates the people who really have God inside and those who don't. Because if you got God, you're going to make it through that walking by faith. But if you don't, you're going to stumble and fall. And they fell in that wilderness. The tribulation is for the purpose of separating the people who have fruit and those that deny the Lord. And the Judases are going to fall by the wayside. Yeah.
Jerry? Robbie's got his hand up again.
Hey, Robbie. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, Dave, I do believe like you believe, but the reason I asked that question is I know you're reading from a different Bible, but I was listening to Jack Van Empe last night, and he was talking about changing that word falling away into departing, and he's trying to use that word departing as meaning the rapture, okay? So what I wanted to know is if you could check that in your Bible, can the falling away actually mean departing? And obviously, you know, if you read it within its context, it cannot mean the rapture, but that's what he was trying to come across at.
Well, departing from the faith would be the whole phrase. You know, apostasy is a falling away, a departing from the faith. And departing from the earth, there's no way you can get that word apostasy to mean that. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to look this up right now. I'll give you Vines. Let me see. Apostasia. A defection, a revolt. This is Vine's interpretation of this. Let's see. Let's see what the verb is here. Falling away. Apostasy from the faith. It's very clear that you can't use it for anything like that. I don't know what Jack's headed for there. But I know he teaches that rapture doctrine. Let's see. Nope, that's pretty clear. He's described it in several different terms there that I'm used to. So it's a defection, a revolt, a falling away. A departure from the faith. And actually, that's what reveals the son of perdition. It's very clear there. I mean, when you read the text, his doctrine is totally destroyed. I mean, look at it very carefully. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together unto him." That's what everybody calls the rapture.